Well, we started looking in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. And last week, we're going to get into this entire chapter. We're going to break it open. I want people to understand what love is. You know, we've all seen the little Charlie Brown thing. It shows up on Facebook. Love is a man named Jesus. Love is this. Love is that. Well, God's love, which was Jesus, is what we're talking about. Because we all have a different version of what love is. Well, I'll love you if you love me. That ain't love. Not God's love anyway. That's fickle. But God loved us while we were still sinners. I want you to examine your heart and tell me that you can say you loved Osama bin Laden. That's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? I know. He was the one that masterminded the whole 9/11 and all this stuff. That's something else to think about. While he was still a sinner, God loved him. I saw a video going around, and I kind of not dug deep into the news on this subject of the Texas police officer who went into what she thought was her apartment, and there was a black man in there, and she shot him and killed him. Well, she entered the wrong house. They found her guilty. But on the stand, his brother came down to her, hugged her, said, "I forgive you, and I want you to give your life to Jesus." Somebody shoot your brother in cold blood, do you think you could do that? Most of us would be wanting revenge, wouldn't we? I'm not going to lie. I would think about it. But that's our flesh. See, our flesh doesn't know how to love like God loves, because it's weak. But we can discipline it. But we have to have the Holy Spirit. And I don't think it's any mistake or just a happenstance that Paul was talking about gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit when he wrote this passage of what we call Scripture now. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13, he's talking about love, but he's also talking about gifts of the Spirit. So let's look at verses 1 through 3 again, real quick, just so you have a basis. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have nothing or have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." Now, you have to say, well, why would they do all this? Selfishness. Attention. I know lots of people that pretend they're sacrificing, but they don't love. They didn't do it because of love. They did it because of the notoriety they got out of it. And Paul is telling us right here that if everything we do as a body, as a believer, if it's not done in the love of God, which is what this love is, it's agape. If it's not done through that love, then it's for nothing. We're nothing. We're a song with no time or rhythm. We're just noisy. And God doesn't do that. Let me get my eyeballs back on. However, the church has, when they read this, they focus on just a little bit of it, and they hit it real quick, but they focus on solely the gifts. Gifts are gifts, folks. They aren't the main thing. Y'all get that? They're going to pass away. All the gifts that the Bible talks about will go away one day. And there's a reason why. And it's what Paul was trying to get through to the church right then. Because they focused on the wrong things too. And I believe most of the church, at least in the non-denominational charismatic realm, has focused on manifestations of gifts over what is actually supposed to be fueling said gifts. We look at the people in the church and say, oh, look, that person, they speak in tongues, or that person brought forth a word, that person can lay hands on people and they get healed. God's using them. Well, the faith is faith, folks. I'm just telling you right now, Henry Ford didn't believe the thing God wrote, but he tithed. He believed that. Anybody know Henry Ford? Yeah, I think you know. Anybody drive a Ford? Anybody willing to raise their hand? No. Gotcha. I'm not particular. I've even thought about buying a Dodge. I thought about it. Without love, none of those gifts mean anything. Faith doesn't mean a thing. No matter how many people you've laid hands on, didn't mean a thing. That's why the Bible tells us in the end, Jesus is telling a parable of separating sheep and goats. He said, many are going to stand before me, and he's going to say, depart from me. I didn't know you. And they said, Lord, didn't we hold big revivals in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Lay hands on the sick in your name, and they were healed? Yeah, that's faith in his name. He said, depart, because I never knew you. Why would the Messiah, the Savior of the world, not know somebody? We're expected to change from what we were. The Bible talks about from one degree of glory to the next. That glory isn't all this light and stuff shining around. It's love, folks. He looked into their face and he never saw himself. He didn't see the selflessness coming back. He saw them up there. Hallelujah, praise Jesus, I'm going to cast all you demons out. Come on, Janus and Jambres did the same stinking things that Moses did. They're magic tricks, they're faith. I threw that magic in there just so you'd understand the level of it. Without love. See, Moses did this stuff with love for the Hebrews. And that's why Moses is snake. That's what I always loved about the Ten Commandments. Cecil B. DeMille's version. His snake went over and ate a big old cobra. Went over and he ate that other snake. That was awesome. But I need you to understand, that was without love. It was for naught. But Moses took his own life in his hand. You got to understand this. He was told to never come back. Was not quite welcomed back either. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. It's the same Holy Spirit that works tongues. It's the same Holy Spirit that works prophecies. Same Holy Spirit that works faith. And all that stuff. Salvation, it's the same Spirit. Distributing to each one individually as he wills. So if you say, well, I got all the gifts, you're a liar. Because Paul even said not one person has all the gifts. Because if you have all the gifts, you don't need anybody else. This is what we're trying to learn, is we are required to be dependent upon people. God looked down, Adam, the most perfect human being created, right? Aside from Jesus. I'll throw that in there. Some of you just kind of got that. I could hear the crickets. Blink, blink, cricket sounds. He was the most perfect human being created. And God said, it is not good that he's alone. So why do we try to do everything ourselves? Why do we try to be alone? Well, it's false humility for starters. Oh, look at poor old me. God finally broke through my stupid, arrogant pride. I got started appointing people over things. God brought people in, and so I was able to start appointing them to certain things to relieve me of some of that load, because I didn't need to carry it anymore. And it's great. But the Holy Spirit gives to each one according to how he wants, how he wills. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:13. It says, for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. I think I gave you the wrong verse. It actually says desire. It's supposed to be, the scripture says desire spiritual gifts. Desire them. Anybody ever desired something? Well, we know Psalm 37:4, he'll give you the desires of your heart, right? Well, I know what I desire. Yeah, he ain't going to give you that because that goes against his will. If we desire the gift, the Holy Spirit will give it. If you desire a prayer language, the Holy Spirit will give it. If you desire to be a prophet, the Holy Spirit will give it, if it's God's will. I say that because so many people, I want to be a prophet. I got news for you. Let's go back to the Old Testament and how they judged prophets. One missed word, we take you out in the parking lot and bury you. That's how prophets were dealt with. And I think if the church still dealt with them that way, you wouldn't see all these prophet liars running around. You'd see people who, when they give a word and they say, thus saith the Lord, they have beads of sweat. Jeremiah cried and wept for a reason. Not only was it because he saw it, he's like, God, I got to make sure this is you. They will stone me. But gifts, I just mentioned prophet liars. These gifts can be misused if they're not operating through love. I grew up pretty much in the charismatic church. Oh, there it is. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love. I'm glad you brought that up. Pursue love. Chase it. Guys, you remember how to pursue? Come on. It ain't been that long ago. You pursued your wife? That's how you pursue. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm not going to. All right, I'll speak to you hunters. Anybody ever pursued your deer? I have, 5 miles. Turkey still got away. You pursue, you chase after, you go after the thing, but you desire the gift. Desire, well, I'm working on that right now. We were talking about misusing gifts. But in Acts 8:18-23, you don't have to turn there. We read about Simon the sorcerer. Simon was a man who was known in the entire region as a sorcerer. He could do things that made people just stand there and scratch their heads. How'd he do that? It's kind of like watching AGT and these magicians get up here and they do this stuff. And he's like, how did you just do that? I've slowed that stuff down and watched, and that card just turns. I have no idea how they pulled that off. Maybe they did cross over into some spiritual woo-woo stuff. I don't know. Some of it, you catch them. But Simon the sorcerer got saved. The Bible says he got saved. But they hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. And the apostles are laying hands on them. And he saw what was happening. And he went to the apostles and he said, hey, I'll give you $100. You lay hands on me so that I can do what you do. They saw through and saw his heart and his intent. He was trying to buy the gift so that he could manipulate it, so he could charge for it. Anybody wants prayer or wants to charge you for praying for them, walk away. I'm going to tell you right now, I was in a church that they did. Fortunately for me, it's the Russian Orthodox Church in Ukraine, so I don't have to worry about it. But the man said, well, one, because we weren't Orthodox like him, he couldn't pray with us. And they had a list on the wall, and the pastor was with us, told us, he said, they charge you by what they pray for. And we wonder why the people are struggling, why the salvation is something weird to them. Because it's free. You don't have to pray or pay. However, 1 Corinthians 14:32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, you are in charge of each and every gift you have. I've known people that said, well, I just couldn't help but burst out in a tongue. Then you just made this a lie. Right? Does it not say that the spirit is subject? It's exactly what it says. It says your gift is. You control it. Now, if you can control it for good, guess what you can do? You can control it for bad. I know a lot of people that argue that point, but I'm going to tell you right now, I've been around this camp since I was 9 years old, maybe 10. I was between 9 and 10. And I have seen and I have heard people come and go, you prophesying. I've seen people get saved, delivered from all kinds of things, and then they want to keep pushing. They think there's more. They cross over into a vein that is dangerous and deadly. And they cross into the demonic world. And they turn what was good into an evil thing. If we are not operating through love, what are we operating through? Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon, the word means wealth, means materialism, prosperity, possessions. It means all the things that we desire, right? Why do we do anything? Well, I just love to do my job. If you weren't getting paid, would you still love it? I'm just asking you seriously. Probably not. Why? Because you love to get that paycheck and you love to be able to go exchange that paycheck for food, for rent, for a house payment, for electric, right? We cannot serve two masters. We either serve God or we're serving mammon. I've heard some people say that mammon is what the name of the god of this world is. It's material possessions. It's things. By the way, you can exchange it for knowledge, wisdom, what we think is wisdom. What so many people call wisdom, I call fear. Well, it's wisdom that I don't do that. No, it's fear. I know you. You're afraid. Well, it's just wisdom. No, it's wisdom to do this. But what you're talking is fear. I've seen so many people bound up with fear and they call it wisdom. Well, I'm not going to jump out of an airplane, Pastor. Nobody said you had to. I would still kind of like to do it. Except at this age now, they're going to strap me to some guy's half my age. And I got a problem with that. I've been doing my own stunts for nearly 50 years. And I think I'll be okay. And if not, well, I'll be the first one on the ground. All of these things are self. Mammon serves self. Everything. It's all about you. Not about other people. It's about what you can get out of the situation. You're either operating in love that is not self-seeking, or you operating in love. Or you operate in self, as you were. So if you're operating in God's love, you're not seeking what I can get out of Keith. What I did for Keith was out of love. I don't expect anything in return. Although I do know that if I do things for people, God blesses me. I don't have to look where the blessings come from. The blessing just comes. I was in a store in Lowe's one day. A woman comes up and gives me a $20 get Lowe's card. Yeah. Matthew 6:22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Your eye is either good or it's bad. It can't be both. Now, I say that. Let's go to 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not the Father, but is of the world. Let's go back up to the lust of the eyes, the things we desire, the things we see. Everybody says, oh, that's lusting. Guys are lusting after women. Lust didn't start with women and men lusting after each other. Shame did. Think I'm kidding? Think about it. Bible says that when the serpent presented to Adam and Eve the fruit, what does the Bible say? Y'all, anybody remember? It says, and they saw that the fruit was desirable and good. They saw. Their eyes saw it. So Eve partook, and Adam said, well, she didn't die. We're good. He partook. When he partook, the Bible says their eyes were now opened and they were shamed. Nakedness didn't bring lust. Nakedness brought shame. So if we're desiring the gifts of God so that we can gain something, the gift now becomes bad. If I can prophesy, then I can control a region. You misunderstand your role. In the Bible, Jesus was preaching and a city rejected him. And the disciples came to him and said, Master, do you want us to call down lightning like or fire like Elijah and consume them? Jesus looked back and he said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Right? You don't know the spirit you're of. What spirit are they supposed to be of? The Holy Spirit. The spirit of love. So many people get bent out of shape because, well, I got rejected. God bring a curse upon them. What spirit are you of? Jesus said, just shake the dust off your feet. Figuratively, if you need to do it physically, go for it. But figuratively speaking, in other words, you forget it, I'll take care of them. They rejected you, I will send another. And I will send another. And I will send another, just like he did the prophets to Israel. It's what he told us about the vineyard. Remember? Vineyard worker, and they kept beating up the workers who came. And then eventually they started killing them, and then the master sent his son. That's what that was all about. He continued to send people. But we get where, oh, just forget them. No, maybe it's just not for you. I've told you before, you're not called to lead everybody to Christ. There's some people that they have a designation. Somebody's got to lead them there. And it's going to take somebody probably with a thicker head than them. You can desire or lust after good things also. Desire. The word desire that Paul talked about in 14:1 was indeed that worst. It means burn with that desire for the spiritual gifts, for the good things of God. That you burn, that you want God's acceptance, that you want God's approval in your life. Not that you're doing it so that you can get recognition on a stage. That makes me sick when people, I'll only be up here if I can get the honor. If you understood the role that's up here, you'll understand it's not supposed to be after honor. If you're doing it to demand honor, you don't understand what honor is. One of the things that I never fully understood it in the beginning, but as I grew as a Marine, I started understanding that God put me through some things so that I'd understand about self-sacrifice. One of the things was the leaders did not eat until the privates went through. Our drill instructors in boot camp could not sit down until the last recruit was sitting down. And I'm going to tell you right now, we became vacuum cleaners. We could clear an entire tray of food in less than 5 minutes. You had to, because the drill instructors would just put a little bit because they can go out to McBurger King. And they did. But they would do that. and they would sit down. And then as soon as they'd sit down, we knew the time the clock had started. And but I learned about honor. Honor doesn't always flow this way. It's got to flow that way too. And if it doesn't, then you get no respect. You can desire good things for others so much so that you pervert the message God has for them, i.e. pronouncing a blessing when God spoke a rebuke. That's selfish. And I actually know of two women who were standing in a prayer line, and the man of God had a word for each one of them. The one, God gave a blessing. The other one, God gave a rebuke. The one that was given the rebuke said, well, that man got him mixed up. That was my word. Yeah. Bringing forth a rebuke, not from God, but from your passion, not from God, is selfish. Sometimes you got to know how. Sometimes you got to know when. And sometimes right then is the time. Sometimes there's a time, hey, can we talk in private for a few minutes? There's a time to take care of something right there, and sometimes there's a time to take care of something outside. And if you're any kind of spiritual maturity, you have to know the difference. Because trust me, there's been many times God made me bite my own tongue. I about bit it off several times. But then there's been times God's let me do it. Get my pages separated. Once a person allows self to begin to operate over God's love, the whole body becomes bad. Your entire gift is now corrupt. Because you gave a word. Well, God said, I'm going to bless that person. So what do? Okay, well, I'm going to prophesy over him. Lord, God says that you're going to be a millionaire in 6 weeks. That's interesting. That's not what God said. But you just turned around and threw your little spin on it because you think you can call things that aren't as though they are out of God's will. Is that love? Is telling somebody the wrong message love? No. We must never seek our own desires when ministering. Edification is first and foremost. It's the building up of the individual. That's the role of my job, every minister, whether evangelists, teachers, pastors, prophets, we're all required to build you up. That does require from time to time the rebuke. But overall, it's about building you up. Is this God saying it, or is it my own hopes for somebody? Even as a prophet, you cannot call things that are not as though they are apart from God's will. John chapter 8, verse 28 through 29. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I also do those things that please him. The Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God could not and would not do anything that did not please God or was not within his will. Even when he prayed in the garden before he was betrayed, he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But not my will, but your will, right? Your will. Your will be done, Father. He taught us how, we call it the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will done on earth? Well, it just happens. No, it doesn't. It requires obedience on our behalf. People are dying and going to hell, right? Yes, they are. Is it God's will? Nope. The Bible tells us it is not God's will that one person... Not one person. Well, why isn't God's will being done? Well, because the church thinks it needs to declare holy wars and run all over God's creation doing the wrong things instead of loving people. Many times people have spoken things prophetically that simply were not what God desired, or God showed them something that wasn't necessarily to be spoken yet. In other words, God may show somebody. I knew a guy, God would show him things because he had a gift of knowledge. God would show him something about somebody, and they were always visitors. And he would prophesy over them every time. They never came back. Ask yourself, if somebody come up and just read my mail, do I want to go back? I wouldn't. You got a little too close. I don't know you yet. God was showing him, here's what I've learned. God was showing him that stuff so he could pray. So he could intercede for those people. Whether they came back or was immaterial, God was showing him that stuff so he could pray for them. Not necessarily even in a prayer line. Maybe in his time during the week when he's praying to the Lord. Lord, I lift up this couple. I see, Lord, that you showed me the struggle they're going through. And sometimes God may show something that's supposed to happen. Sometimes you ain't supposed to say anything. Why? It has not built up the body, but rather it weakens it. If God says, sing this song, sing it. If write this book, write it. If God says, not everybody else, you ought to write a book. No, I probably ought not write a book. If your flesh says any of this, hit the brakes. We're talking about spiritual gifts again, folks. That's what we're speaking of. People get receiving prophetic words. If a prophetic word, here's what I do with prophetic words. They're real. You take a prophetic word. All right, I received that. Dink. I put it there. I don't live my life according to that word. Because I will do everything within my power to try to manipulate things. If God had told me at 18 years of age, Art, I'm going to call you to preach. You're going to come back. You're going to be in Mount Gilead, and you're going to start a church, and I'm going to bless people, and I'm going to bless you. You know what I'd have done? Well, I got to go to Bible school. I got to go here. I got to go learn this. Y'all know what God did. He sent me to the Marines. Best place to learn about God in my book. I learned about selflessness. I saw lots of selfishness. I ain't going to say it doesn't exist. But I learned how to be selfless. I learned what love meant. And I learned what love wasn't. And in all of that, God created the man that stands here today versus a man who never got out and experienced life, who has no experience other than going to a school. I've learned to trust God with my life. I've learned to trust God while I was away when I couldn't do anything. I had to trust. Well, God, okay, I'm going to trust it. You're going to keep me alive. I'd sit next to people flying on planes. Oh, man, what do you think about this plane? Do you think it's going to go down? Have you ever flown? I said, yeah, I've flown a few times. Well, I'm just so worried. I said, what are you worried about? I said, the way I look at it, if it's my time to go, God ain't got those angels out there holding them wings on. But if not, this plane ain't going nowhere. God's got a call for my life. He ain't going to let it end with a burning pile of heap on the ground. I learned to trust him. Experience, in my book, works so much better than a PhD. I could get one. They're not hard to get. I mean, seriously, get online. I can do all kinds of stuff. I mean, it used to be, it had to be a time in life you had to be ordained to be a minister. Get online. You can marry people. It's really not rocket science, by the way. Burying people is the other. That's the side that hurts. But I'll be honest with you. When I'm doing the funeral of a believer who lived a good life, who served God and loved people, I rejoice. I know where they went. I've done funerals. I couldn't tell you where they went. And some of them, I didn't want to tell you where they probably went. I'm going to stop there.